Thank you for the introduction, Dave. He kind of just took up the first 3 or 4 minutes of the sermon. So we're continuing in the series. They said, "What?" And I've been waiting all week to do that too. We've gone through a couple things already so far. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. And I like the way that Dave presented that sermon, as the Bible should not be a conversation ender. It should be a conversation starter. So we need to quit presenting it that way in order to open up the conversation so that we might bring somebody else to God. We also went through God Told Me. I'm going to skip over that one. I'm not even going to get to that. Everything happens for a reason. I have to admit that I am guilty of saying that myself. It is one of my favorite sayings, and Dave made me feel bad. The last one we went through was God needed another angel. That saying makes me cringe. I agree. How do you say that to a mother that just lost her child? And it's really something that we as Christians need to begin to be cognizant of, is the way that we present our God to people, especially people that are struggling. So today, we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. And it reads, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." This verse turned into, God will never put more on you than you can bear, or God won't give you more than you can handle. And I have to admit, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. That's one of my favorite sayings. It makes me feel all warm inside and good and strong, and I can do anything, and I can survive through anything. But the problem is, it's not the truth. It's not the truth in life. It's not the truth biblically. Part of the problem is that we choose to pick scriptures, and we take specific scriptures, and we try to make them fit our message. And what we fail to do is read the surrounding scriptures, which actually give us the information we need of what the writer was actually talking about. So in the preceding scriptures to this verse, Paul is actually talking to the church in Corinth about fleeing from the temptation of their lusting after evil. He's talking to them about fleeing from idolatry, from fleeing from fornication, from sexual immoralities like their ancestors had committed. He's not talking about the tests and trials of life at all. He is saying that God will not be allowed to tempt you, and God will not tempt you with sin farther than you can handle. He will always give you an escape away from sin. But he's not talking about tests and trials at all. We take that verse and we tell people he'll never put more on you than you can handle. But what about grief? I talk about my dad often. A couple years after my dad died, I went to my grandmother and I asked her, "How did you handle bearing two husbands? How did you handle bearing two grandchildren? How could you handle bearing two of your sons that you gave life to?" Her response to me was, "I didn't. I never bared it. I gave it to the Lord because I knew that I was not strong enough to bear it." How do you handle sending your child off to defend their country, to only get a knock at the door one day that your child will not be returning home? How do you handle sending your child off to school, only to know that the next time you will see them, there will be no life left in their body? These are not things that we can bear. And sometimes they may not even be things that God puts on us, but they are things that he allows us to go through. So the statement that he'll never put more on you than you can handle is not true. And we have to be careful about the way that we are presenting this to people, because it gives them a false sense or a false belief in who God is or what God does. And when the tests and trials of life come and they blow against them, it is easy to shatter a faith that is not built on the correct assumption. We have to be careful of the way that we present our God to the world. But it's not just in our lives now that this is not true. It was not true biblically. Look at the great prophet Elijah. Elijah only did what God asked him to do. Elijah went and murdered all of the false prophets that God told him to kill. And in return, wound up having to run for his life from King Ahab and Jezebel. And he ran until finally he stopped and he cried out to God, "I've had enough. Just let me die. I'm no better off than my ancestors." Does that sound like somebody who's bearing the load that was given to him? And that load was placed on him directly by God. What about Jonah? Jonah ran from his call of prophecy to the point where he was swallowed by a great fish. And he was not released until he repented and called on the name of God. At that point, he was spewed out onto dry land. Does that sound like a prophet that was bearing the load that God had given to him? What about Paul, who wrote that he would never give you more temptation than you can handle, but in the very next letter to the Corinthians, Paul tells them about the tests and trials that he went through in Asia, so much to the point that they were utterly burdened beyond their strength and despaired of life itself. Does that sound to you like an apostle that could bear the load that God put on them? And then the greatest of all, even Jesus buckled under the weight of his cross. So when we present to the world that there are going to be no tests and trials that you yourself cannot get through, we are giving to the world an inner strength that they actually do not possess. See, the thing about each one of those prophets, the thing about the Apostle Paul, and definitely the thing about Jesus is they knew that in their human condition, they could not handle the hurt and the pain that came along with life. They could not handle the physical damage that life was doing them, but through the Father, all things were possible. Though we may say this statement wrong to people, this scripture is still nonetheless important. The fact that he will never put more temptation on you than you can bear plays very important, especially in our society today. Our society is hyper-sexualized. Our society looks for everything outside of God to help them with their issues, whether it be mental, whether it be physical, whether it would be addiction. But the truth is that there is no temptation that you face that is uncommon to man. Men has been struggling with mental issues, with addiction issues, with sexual issues since the beginning of time. But the other fact is that God will always provide you a way out. My life is living proof of that. I went to a very dark place, not being able to handle the burden of the grief that was placed upon me because of death. And in those dark places, I found myself in an even darker place of addiction. That temptation was one that I chose to walk into, but it was still a burden that I could not bear. The only thing that lifted that burden off of me was when I cried out to the Father that I could no longer take what was placed upon my shoulders. And from there, he gave me the escape route. There is no temptation that you cannot bear. College students, I want you to pay attention to that very closely. There is no temptation that you cannot face that he will not give you the exit route away from. So when you are tempted to not go to class because you're tired, because you also have to work a job and you're trying to have a social life, you can handle that temptation. Get up and go to class. When you are tempted, and I'm talking to you, Kiara, when you are tempted to go to a party at night knowing you have a special test the next day, don't go to the party. He's giving you escape. Call your father so I can let you know what's up and then go to class, all right? Yeah, I have to say, she, you know, you gave her them tissues and that thing and you said they're for the mothers, and then she comes over to the table talking about, "No, Dad, these are for you." You know, that's not cool. That's not cool. But see, that's my thing. Like, that's a burden. It's honestly a burden I don't know if I can handle. I don't know who I'm going to be when my child leaves and go to college. I can't imagine myself without my child. That's my youngest child. That's it. There's a new burden getting ready to be placed on my shoulders that I've never experienced before in life. And I don't have any choice but to turn to the Father to handle it, because I don't know who I am separated from my children. These are all realities that we have to keep in mind as we talk to people and we communicate with people about the things we believe about our God. It's not that you can handle it. you're not strong enough to handle it. If we were strong enough to handle it, there would be no such thing as suicide. If we were strong enough to handle the burdens, there would be no such thing as addiction. If there we were strong enough to handle the burdens, there would be no such thing as idolatry or adultery. Families would be staying together because they could handle the burdens that are placed upon them. The thing that is causing our world to break apart is that we are no longer calling on the name of God. You can't handle your burdens. I'm going to be honest with you. Some things you can handle, but you are not built to handle everything. We were built to be in communion with the Father. So stop telling people that they can handle it. Be open and honest with people about where they are in life. Be open and honest with people about where you've been in life. Because the more that people know that you had to call on the name of God, the easier it makes it for them to call on the name of God. The more you give people a true sense of who God really is, the more people know how to communicate with the Father in order to get the blessing. We can no longer let people assume that God is just this bully that's sitting up there with the magnifying glass and we're ants. Because that's ultimately what happens. We lead them into a false sense that he's supposed to show up in every single situation. And when we think that he doesn't, it becomes an anger towards God instead of a point of self-reflection to find where your relationship is missing with God. And that's the greatest point about this scripture. Paul makes it clear that the temptation is the issue. But he also makes it clear that there is an escape route. So as we look at life today and we communicate with people about their problems, we talk to our children, we look at issues in our home, all these things that we are trying to fix in our lives, we need to understand that we don't have to fix them ourselves. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. You will have burdens. You will have things that feel like they shake you all the way down to your spirit that you don't know if you can get up from. But the final thing Jesus said was, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Your burdens you do not have to carry. You can lay them down at the feet of the cross. You do not have to walk alone. You do not have to live in this world feeling as if nobody understands your problem, especially as a man. You do not have to believe that you have to have this grit inside that can pull yourself up by the bootstraps. That's not a reality. The reality is you need to lean on your Creator. The reality is you need to call upon your Savior in them times where you're not sure if you can make it. On them days if you don't know if you can get up, on them days where you're sitting at school and you're missing your family and you're thinking that you want to come home, call on your Savior so you can continue on your path that he has prescribed for you. Tell people the truth about who their God is. Tell people the truth about who their Savior is. Tell people the truth about how to get through the problems in life. Until we do that, until we change the messaging, until we let it be known that Jesus is the overcomer, not us, we are not going to see any movement. Let us pray. Father, I come before you today thanking you that you are a gracious God. Father, I ask that you reach down into the hearts of your children, not just into the hearts, but all the way into the spirit, that what begins to reflect from our lives and begins to proceed from our mouths is your word and your word alone. Father, in these days, we're taking too much credit for your work. Father, in these days, we are pushing you out of every corner of our nation. Father, in these days, we don't even tell people how to call on your name. But I'm asking you now to come down and fix all that. Let them know that it's okay for them to struggle. Let them know that it's okay for them to be saddled with grief and pain to the point where they don't know if they can continue to go another day. But let them see the truth that you have already come and overcome the world. Let them see the truth that there is no life outside of you. There is no pain that they cannot get through as long as they call on your name. There is no step that they cannot take as long as they are holding your hand. It is not by ourselves that we survive our tests and trials, but it's by calling on the power of your name, believing in our hearts that you sent your son to die upon the cross, that we may be saved from these things that are corrupting us now. Father, I know you will do it. I know you will show up on time. I know these troubles will not last too long. And I thank you that you are not only the God of time, but you are a God outside of time, and that your time is the right time. Father, I love you and I praise you. In all things I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.